And now, from the Daniel Scappin Studio, deep in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, it's Mike Malloy.
Tuesday, September 11th, 2018. Yeah, it's the 17th anniversary of the attack on this country. The retaliatory attack in the minds and eyes and hearts of the people who launched the attack. And let's not forget that, was it 13, 14 of the 19 bombers that came to this country? 13 or 14 of them were from Saudi Arabia. Osama bin Laden was from Saudi Arabia. We have been providing Saudi Arabia with weapons of mass destruction for decades. There's really nothing I can say on this particular day, except I certainly do grieve, I guess, is the only word I can think of, although it's not active grieving, for the families who had members of their families killed. I mentioned this last week. The Trump administration now wants to make it easier to release one of the most atmospheric destructive gases. I'm sorry, one of the most destructive gases into the atmosphere, destructive in the sense that it's a powerful chemical where it concerns trapping heat on this planet. And, of course, you know I'm talking about methane. There are billions of tons of methane that have existed for probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years, trapped in the frozen tundras in the northernmost and probably southernmost latitudes of this planet. The thing about methane that makes it so worrisome is its property of being 20, 30, 40 times more conducive to trapping heat on this planet than CO2. And consequently, you would think, wouldn't you, that it would be a chemical that we would go out of our way to not release into the atmosphere. I mean, what the fuck is wrong with us, right? Doesn't that seem just almost definably logical? No, apparently not. Now, the corporations that are responsible for inducing this methane gas to enter in the atmosphere are doing so because they're making money in the short term. The time will come when the executives of these gas and oil companies, probably when they're dead and gone, but when their grandchildren and great-grandchildren will suffer hideously because of the changes that releasing this poison into the atmosphere will bring about, is bringing about. But they'll never make the connection, will they? Although some members of the Rockefeller family made the connection and divested themselves of any and all stock or holdings that had to do with carbon-related fuel. Which is kind of funny when you think that the original Rockefeller, John D., who my grandfather told me used to hand out dimes to people starving to death during the Depression, which was different from dimes today for sure. I don't know what the difference is. Maybe a dime in the 1930s is what? Worth $10? Who knows? But that Rockefeller, I believe, was the son of the original Rockefeller, the one that put together Standard Oil of New Jersey, which now lives on in its zombie state of ExxonMobil. But Standard Oil of New Jersey and the Rockefeller family had a monopoly on oil as the country was switching from whale oil to oil pumped out of the ground for all sorts of industrial purposes. And eventually the government ordered the Rockefeller family to break up Standard Oil of New Jersey because it was a monopoly. And back then, the idea was not to allow monopolies, which I think is kind of funny, given where we are today. But anyway, methane is worse than anything John D. Rockefeller was aware of pumping into the atmosphere when he ran his huge oil conglomerate. Although I would imagine when they were digging for oil, drilling for oil, I should say, that methane was being released back then. But over the decades, it became very clear that methane was a highly destructive gas where it concerned human life on this planet. Scientists figured it out 50, 60 years ago, maybe earlier for all we know, because we don't know shit, do we, you and me? But it was determined that methane gas was not something we wanted floating into the atmosphere if we wanted to do what the Bible told the Jews and Muslims and Christians to do, and that was to have dominion over the earth, but don't you fucking destroy it, you bunch of golem. Oh, my God. So once it was determined that methane was a real killer, a planetary killer, and let me clarify again, the Earth is going nowhere until the sun explodes or some huge other heavenly body slams into us and disintegrates this little blue marble. So when I talk about destruction of the Earth, I'm referring to life on Earth, and primarily human life, because other life will survive. I bet the dinosaurs used to walk around thinking, "Hey, we're king shit, man. Nothing can stop us." Until apparently that huge asteroid slammed into what is now the Gulf de Mexico, and the resulting darkness and dust and horror eliminated about 90% of all living things on Earth. And it was probably a good stroke. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been here. We never would have been created or evolved. Whatever. So methane. There are billions of tons of methane locked into the frozen tundras on the planet. But the frozen tundras are not so frozen anymore. And they're getting less and less frozen. And now I was watching Science Channel on the electric TV the other evening. And they have a program called What on Earth? And usually the program starts with satellite images that are different from the images that the satellites normally pick up, images here on Earth, some sort of aberration, something that doesn't fit into the landscape. What the hell is that? And then usually it'll be investigated. And it usually has a fairly, this whatever these phenomena are, they usually have a fairly logical explanation. They may appear from the satellites taking pictures at 250 miles up or 180 miles up, they may appear to be completely unexplainable, but once science gets down and dirty with these images, they find out what it is and problem solved. So one of the episodes I was watching over the weekend was about these holes That's right. Holes in the surface of the earth. There are a lot of them in Siberia, which makes sense in the context of what I'm telling you. Some of them are these holes they've discovered in the bottom of the sea, on the seafloor. And what these holes are doing is releasing enormous amounts of methane gas. Enormous amounts of methane gas. Which, when I watched the program, was more than a little disturbing. And the voiceover, the moderator voiceover of the program, explained that methane was not our friend, that methane was a very dangerous gas given global warming. And one of the things about methane that makes it singularly awful is the feedback loop that it sets up. Methane increases global warming, which increases ground temperature, which increases the melting of the tundra, which increases the release of methane, which, well, you get the picture. So the Trump administration, taking its third major step this year to roll back efforts to fight climate change, because Trump and all the filthy fuckers that work for him will tell you that global climate change is a hoax. It's either a liberal plot to turn us all into socialist robots, or it's a plot by the Chinese to destroy our economy so that they can be king of the hill, or it's this or it's that, but it's not real. For this ignorant son of a bitch who is destroying everything, global warming is not real. And for the Christian fuckwads, it's not real to them either because, well, you know, God would never do such a sneaky thing. When God destroys the earth, well, look in the book of Revelation. That's how that's going to happen. So global warming, to the political and religious fascists who now run the United States, is a non-event. It's nothing. Global warming is not occurring. And these dirty goddamn liberals who keep bringing it up, well, various states have passed laws that say their departments of environmental, their divisions of environmental studies for the states of Virginia and North Carolina and other states are not allowed even to mention the term global warming. We don't want to see it in any of your reports. Come up with something else. Call it dining room table if you must, but don't call it global warming. I mean, when the religio-political fascists decide that something is a non-thing, they mean it. Don't even talk about it. So now Trump is preparing to make it much, much easier for energy companies to release methane into the atmosphere. Oh, this makes such wonderful fucking sense, doesn't it? This makes wonderful sense. Now, the thing that is especially horrifying to me and honestly makes me consider at some point industrial sabotage of some sort? I don't know. Of course, that would never work, would it? But what is maddening is that the scientists for these huge carbon-based energy companies, they know fucking full well what methane release does, what CO2 release does. They know what it is. They have written internal memos back and forth among the executive board. Hey, listen, this shit's going to kill the planet, but not for a while. You dirty son of a bitches. Now, methane, which is among the most powerful greenhouse gases, if not the most powerful. Leaks routinely from oil and gas wells. But the energy companies, you see, like ExxonMobil, like all of them, they have long said, and they continue to say, and as they're fucking gasping for breath on their deathbeds, they will be saying that the rules requiring them to test for emissions are just too fucking costly and too goddamn burdensome. And therefore, we don't want to do it. And that fucking Obama made these rules. Thank God we have Trump. So Trump can shit can every single one of these rules that are cutting into our profits. Jesus Christ. Now, the hideously misnamed now Environmental Protection Agency, probably this week, according to the New York Times here, plans to make public a proposal. They're going to make it public. A proposal to weaken the requirement put into place during the Obama administration. The proposal the requirement that companies monitor and repair methane leaks. So what Trump's going to say is, A, fuck monitoring it, and B, if you discover a leak, stick some chewing gum on it and walk away. Fuck it. This is all true because the documents containing these plans were reviewed by the New York Times. And in a related move, the Interior Department, whose sole function now is to destroy the interior of the United States, the Interior Department also is expected to release its final version of a draft rule proposed by the Trump gangsters in February that essentially ends restrictions on the intentional venting and flaring or burning of methane gas from drilling operations. So they don't even have to burn it anymore. Now, a byproduct of burning methane, I would assume, is carbon dioxide, but at least it burns the methane. Not any longer. Now they can just vent it into the air. And the EPA and the Interior Department are doing fist bumps over this one because, hey, man, we're working together. Yeah, we're working together. Hey, how about that? Oh, goddamn. Yeah, I was going to say goddamn. Yeah, but I said it first. Well, you know, fuck it. We're working together. These new rules follow two regulatory rollbacks this year that when you consider them together, they at one time represented the foundation of our effort, the United States' effort, to slow global warming. In July, the EPA proposed weakening a rule on carbon dioxide pollution from vehicle tailpipes. Remember that one? And every goddamn board of directors of every goddamn filthy fucking auto company that uses internal combustion engines, they know what comes out of the tailpipe. They know the destructive effect. And I'll be a son of a bitch. Turn on your television and look at the commercials for the gas-burning SUVs that are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That was in July. In August, the EPA proposed replacing the rule on carbon dioxide pollution from coal-fired plants with one that was much weaker and probably wouldn't even qualify as a rule because it would allow these emissions to flow into the atmosphere unchecked from these smokestacks. What are we doing about this? You know what we're doing about this? What you and I are doing about this? Not a goddamn thing. We are willing partners in our own destruction. Janet McCabe, the EPA's top climate and clean air regulator in the Obama administration, said, referring to these fuckers in the EPA and the Trump administration, quote, they're taking them down one by one, the regulations. Industry groups, however, praised these changes. Kathleen Sagama, president of the Western Energy Alliance, an association of independent oil and gas companies based in Denver, said regarding these two rule destructions, she said, quote, it's a neat pair of proposals on methane. Yeah. She said that the Obama-era EPA methane rule was, quote, the definition of red tape. It was a record-keeping nightmare that was technically impossible to execute in the field. End quote. And then this co-conspirator in the deaths of millions of people, Ms. Sagama, praised the Trump administration for turning the oil company's requests into policy. And she noted specifically that the Obama administration frequently turned proposals from environmental groups into policy. So what the fuck? Ms. Sagama said, well, you know, it all depends on who you trust. That administration, the Obamas, trusted environmentalists. This one trusts industry. End quote. Jesus Christ. So, Ms. Kathleen Sagama, president of the Western Energy Alliance, has no problem. As a matter of fact, she's gleeful that these rules are being destroyed. She's gleeful. She's happy. She celebrates. I wonder if she has children. I wonder if she has siblings who have children. Maybe she has nieces and nephews. Ms. Sagama, you're signing their death warrant. Cheer that, you fucking moron. Cheer that. Celebrate that. It depends on who you trust, you said. You fucking murderer, Miss Kathleen Sagama. What are you and I doing about this? You know what I do about it? I call them names. I call them fucking killers. But what am I doing about it? Nothing. Just like you. Nothing. We have the power to do something. There are billions of tons of methane sitting in the permafrost waiting to come up, as it will. And you know what? There are billions of tons of energy that reside in Americans who have the power to stop this shit. And what are we doing about it? Nothing. Nothing. Oh, wait. I did do something. That's right. 2 years ago, or was it three? I went to New York and marched in an anti-global warming march. Woohoo! Along with about 500,000 other people. God damn, that was a great march. Signs and shit, costumes, music, chanting, speeches. And I think it's reasonably safe to report that our wondrous march did not a fucking thing where it concerns global climate change. Ah, but we all felt good. We felt good going to march. You're goddamn right. I felt real good. I was out there marching. It was a little bit difficult because there were so goddamn many people marching down Central Park West. It was, you know, it was crowded and sticky. I think it was in September. And, you know, New York in September, So I look at my effort in the, my personal effort in the overall effort to slow global warming, I look at it the same way as my effort to slow the proliferation of nuclear weapons back in the 70s. Oh, yeah. I even went to jail on those, on that issue. No nukes. The Times adds this, the regulation of methane, which, while not as widely discussed as emissions from cars and coal plants, but the regulation of methane was nonetheless a major component of Mr. Obama's efforts to combat climate change. Methane makes up only about 9% of greenhouse gases, but it is around 25 times more effective than carbon dioxide in trapping heat in the atmosphere. About one-third of methane pollution is estimated to come from oil and gas operations. Nine 9% of greenhouse gases is methane. That's today. But remember those circles that were photographed from a spy satellite, or whatever the fuck it was, 180 miles above the Earth, those circles that seem to be bubbling. Oh, yeah, the scientific equipment is perfectly capable from 150 miles up of taking a picture of a pack of cigarettes. But let's not forget those circles. And I think most of them were in Siberia. Bloop. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Bloop, bloop. You know, the bubbles of methane coming up. Bloop. Bloop, 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 bloop. Jesus Christ. So these proposals that are going to become rules from the EPA and the Interior Department is going to allow far more methane to leak from oil and gas drilling operations, according to environmentalists. Matt Watson, a specialist in methane pollution with the Environmental Defense Fund, said, quote, these leaks can pop up anytime, anywhere, up and down the oil and gas supply chain. The longer you go in between inspections, the longer leaks will go undetected and unrepaired. Which immediately raises the question, if you've been paying attention, if there are no rules governing methane leaks, why the fuck inspect your lines? Right? Matt Watson says, quote, these leaks can pop up anytime, anywhere, up and down the oil and gas supply chain, end quote. But if it's no longer a rule that you can't allow this to happen, who the fuck is going to check? I mean, you're going to have to pay people to go out and check. You know, red tape and shit, right? So there won't be any checking. The bottom line, these proposals to kill us more quickly exemplify Donald Trump's policy quest to roll back regulations on businesses, particularly oil, gas, and coal companies. Da-da! And every time this filthy son of a bitch, Donald Trump, gives one of his incoherent campaign speeches, have you noticed? He just touts his ending of regulations. Oh, we've broken more regulations now. We've ended more than anybody in the history of, oh, fuck, I don't know, the solar system? And the crowd goes wild. Oh, they love it. They stomp and clap and hold up their Trump signs and their Women for Trump. Any woman that holds up a sign, Woman for Trump, do you know what you're doing? Do you know what you're saying? You're saying that millions of years of evolution that packed your ovaries with one half of the necessary stuff needed to make human beings was done for nothing. And you're applauding it? You're applauding a hideous death of life on this planet? Yeah, that's exactly what you're doing. But ain't it refreshing to have somebody like Donald Trump as president? Fuck a bunch of political correctness. You know what I'm saying? He can grab my pussy anytime he wants to. Woohoo! There's more here. Let's take a break, and I'll think about it during the break as to whether or not I should continue with this particular topic. I'll be right back. I would not run from the Holocaust. I would not run from the bomb. I'd welcome the chance to meet my maker and fly into the sun. Fly into the sun. Now, the truth is that everything else that made up the so-called Trump agenda has stopped because the criminal aspects of this administration, the criminal aspects of how he got elected, the criminal this, the criminal that, this fucker's a gangster. This Donald Trump is a goddamn gangster, always has been. And always will be, until the time comes, perhaps, when his ass goes to prison, should he live so long. But because he's a gangster and has not a clue as to how to govern, except, you know, a mob family, everything that he made noises about that he wanted to do has stopped. While he dodges the legal bullets coming his way from the Mueller investigation. Everything that is except what he can destroy on his way down. And that's why these rules are being rescinded. That's why the Obama-era rules that were designed and implemented not to end global warming, but to slow down the rate of increase of global warming. That's why they're all being destroyed. It's kind of like a rabid dog in the manger. You know, well, fuck you. You're going to accuse me of all this shit? Of working with my good buddy Putin and all my good friends in the Russian mafia that kept my ass floating for the past 25 years? Really? And you're going to make an issue about it? Really? Well, fuck you. Here's what I'll do to you. Son of a bitch is insane. So what are we doing about it? Huh? What are we doing about it? Yeah, the new methane proposal, by the way, and I'm just about finished with this topic. I know, I get it. But this new methane proposal, according to a draft seen by the New York Times, would loosen that rule that was put into place in 2016 that required oil and gas drillers to perform leak inspections as frequently as every 6 months on their drilling equipment and repair the leaks within 30 days. So the proposed changes from this filthy criminal fuck Donald Trump would change the six-month inspection to a year, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, oh yeah, we'll get right on it, and to as infrequently as once every 2 years for so-called low-producing oil or gas wells. Hey, my oil well's always been low-producing. Yeah, mine too. Me too. They're all low-producing. Okay, every 2 years. Mine is real low. All right, you can, every 4 years for you. And the Trump rule would also double the amount of time a company could wait before repairing a methane leak from 30 days to 60 days. What fucking logic went into that? What? How long has it been since you found the leak? Let me check. I think it's been 28 days, 6 months later. How long has it been now since you found the leak? I think it's been 38 days. Dirty motherfuckers. The Trump rule would also double the amount of time required between inspections of the equipment that traps and compresses natural gas from once every 3 months to once every 6 months. And on the Alaska North Slope, where oil and gas companies say, well, you know, the weather up here is real sucky and it makes it difficult to conduct inspections. Well, under the new Trump rules, the equipment would only have to be inspected once a year. Oh, and in addition, the Environmental Protection Agency proposal would let energy companies operating in states that have their own state-level methane standards follow those standards instead of the federal ones. That would include states like Texas, where pollution standards, are you out your fucking mind, boy? We ain't had pollution. How do you say that word? We haven't had pollution standards down here in Texas in, oh, hell, I don't know, decades. And that new gas field that is reached by fracking, the Permian Basin field in West Texas, it's my understanding that there's only slightly less gas there than in all of Saudi Arabia. Jesus, God. Oh, and regarding all that, the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, said today, or yesterday, I'm sorry, he said he was trying to warn the world. I mean, after all, he is the UN Secretary General. Yeah, Trump administration and the Christians and the neo-fascist political fucks in this country, they really listen to the UN Secretary General, right? Yeah, okay. Anyway, he's warning of the risks of runaway global warming. Runaway, his term. Yesterday at the UN headquarters in New York, he said, quote, if we do not change course by 2020, we risk missing the point where we can avoid runaway climate change. 2020? Well, fuck, this is almost 2019, boys. If we do not change, let me see a show of hands. How many people out there in the Malloy audience think we're going to change course by 2020? Okay, you didn't hear me. Let me try again. I want to see a show of hands. How many people out there think we're going to change course where it concerns global climate change by the year 2020? No hands? Can nobody? Oh, I get it. Nobody thinks we will. Okay. For a minute there, I thought you couldn't hear me. Mr. Guterres said, quote, climate change is the defining issue of our time, and we are at a defining moment. Scientists have been telling us for decades, over and over again, far too many leaders have refused to listen. End quote. Now, his comments, you have to keep in mind, his comments yesterday come with the harsh reality that countries around the world are not even close to meeting the goals they set for themselves under the Paris Accords 3 years ago, 2015. We knew this was going to happen. Come on. We knew this shit was just that the Paris Accords was a bunch of hokum. It was okay. It was very symbolic. Ooh, let's all get together. Ooh, okay. And let's all decide we're going to save life on this planet. Oh, yeah. Hey, hip, hip, hooray. Okay. Let's save life, save life, save life. Oops. Nobody's doing shit. Oh, but there's another round of climate negotiations scheduled for this year in Poland. Sometime within the next 90 days, because that's about all we have left of 2019. I'm sorry, 2018. One of the big tests at those talks in Poland, which starts December 3rd, will be whether countries, especially industrialized countries, because the industrialized countries, by definition, are the ones that produce the most amount of global emissions, whether or not the industrialized countries will set higher targets for their reducing their emissions. Let me go way out on a limb here and suggest that that shit's not going to happen. What? And if it does, oh yeah, let's increase our targets. But wait a second, you're not even close to meeting the ones you set 3 years ago. Oh, well, oops. We can still set new ones. Why? Oh, I don't know. Mr. Guterres, UN Secretary General, said, quote, the time has come. I can't help it. The laughter. Mr. Guterres says this, quote, the time has come for our leaders to show they care about the people whose fate they hold in their hands. We need to rapidly shift away from our dependence on fossil fuels. Oh, God damn. Yeah. And then the wicked old witch said to Hansel and Gretel, now, children, I want you to come inside. I've got cakes and cookies inside, and it's all good. You're going to love it. And as soon as the children went inside, the wicked old witch grabbed Hansel and put him in a cage. What are you doing to my brother? Said Gretel. Oh, don't you worry. He just looks kind of skinny. I'm just going to fatten him up a little bit.
Oh, why?
Because then, my dear, I'm going to eat the little shit. What do you think? Why do you think I would fatten him up? Oh, wait a second. How'd I get into a fairy tale? Oh, that's right. I was talking about the climate change, the second one, convention in Poland. Oh, that's right. How did I switch into a fairy tale? I got to stay away from the late night reefer. It's just not working out for me. Anyway, everything Mr. Guterres said yesterday is just days before a high-level climate meeting in San Francisco, which has been put together, spearheaded, led by Governor Jerry Brown of California. How old is Jerry Brown? I think he's 81, 82. This is his last term as governor. He's finished. Anyway, this high-level climate meeting in the city by the bay is meant to demonstrate what businesses and local leaders have done to tackle climate change in California, and they have done some things in California. To the extent that Mr. Guterres of the UN seems to be taking a page from Jerry Brown's playbook, because Mr. Guterres realizing what he's up against, apparently, that the national leaders don't give a fuck. So Mr. Guterres has invited heads of industry and city government leaders to this climate change forum this month, not the one in Poland. I'm sorry, September 2019, if we're all still alive. So Mr. Guterres, like Jerry Brown doesn't give a fuck about Trump. Jerry Brown has got some laws passed in the state of California. I know, they're under challenge now by the Koch brothers and the rest of these fascist fucks who should be set adrift somewhere, preferably between here and the Van Allen asteroid belt, but, you know. So Jerry Brown has called a meeting of mayors and city councils and boards of directors of companies to work something out. Mr. Guterres is calling together in September of 2019, a year from now, heads of industry and city government leaders. You know, fuck people like Trump. Fuck people like Merkel and May and Macron and Putin and Xi and Kim. You know, fuck them. They're not going to do anything. Oh, I know. The heads of some of the European states are making every single possible effort to become totally independent of fossil fuels. I get that. I know. But the idea is to, from Mr. Guterres, is to work with these local leaders, so to speak, and that they will put pressure on the national leaders. Jerry Brown's a local leader. He's governor of the state, the biggest state in the union, the eighth largest economy on earth. Is it having an effect on Trump or his filthy gangster cabinet where it concerns tightening the rules rather than getting rid of them? I haven't noticed it. Have you? Which doesn't mean that Jerry Brown should give up. It just means that, well, okay, maybe Jerry Brown should give up. Anyway, the Paris Accords were designed to keep temperatures from rising more than 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels in order to avoid what scientists call, oh, these goddamn exaggerating scientists, listen to this. They call it, quote, the most catastrophic impacts of climate change. Oh, there's catastrophic. Jesus fucking Christ. Will you people get off the word catastrophic? Yeah. Anyway, like I mentioned earlier, very few countries are even close to meeting the targets they set for themselves under the Paris Accords. And an assessment by the UN found that country targets, what everybody agreed to, 190 countries, that those targets would only achieve a third of what's necessary to slow the rate of global warming, which is why a year ago, 6 months ago, whenever the fuck it was, when I came out of the ether, and I remember coming on the podcast and saying, you know, the Paris Accords are a goddamn joke. As far as being symbolic, oh, they're wonderful. Wonderful. All these people getting together, speaking all these different languages. Hey, we got to do something. Right, we got to do something. Hey, we got to do something. We got to do something. We really have to do something. We got to do something. It was glorious. It was wonderful. People who attended the conference had tears rolling down their cheeks. Oh, look at us. We're saving life on Earth. No, you're not. You're not doing shit, and you know it. You're not doing anything. There's only one way to stop this, and it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And that would be a total ban, a total 100%. Every fucking place on Earth would stop. Stop now. Stop right now using any form of energy that releases CO2 or methane into the atmosphere. Stop it now, right now. Pull the switches. If the global economy plunges into some sort of global recession or depression, okay. We can get out of it. We've done it before. But we've never had life on Earth stop that we can't get out of. So there we are. And I'm sorry. I certainly didn't mean to yell like that here at the end of this hour. So let's take a break, and I'll come back momentarily, and we will do the second hour of Fun and Frivolity here on the Molloy, Molloy Podcast. I'll be right back. Stick around. Alrighty, we're back, but before I get back into it, another mention here, if you will, about what we are getting together for sometime this fall. It's our upcoming book signing and launch party in the North Georgia Mountains. Woohoo! We need your input, too. And by input, I don't mean we need a commitment that you're going to attend, but we have a couple of questions at our website to help us select the best date and venue. And we need your input. We just need you to go to MikeMolloy.com, vote for your preferred date if you were to come, and your preferred type of accommodation if you were to come. And if you didn't order a book with the Kickstarter campaign, not to worry. You can pre-order your copy now. And if you do so before it comes out, you'll receive a signed copy signed by me. None of this mechanical pen bullshit. I'll really sign it if you can read my signature, which you won't be able to, but it is me. And where the book stands right now, it is finished. Do you hear me? It is finished. But right now, what I'm doing is rewriting sections of it that need some attention. I'm sure some of those sections screamed at you, if you were reading it as I was writing it, screamed at you things like, boy, does this suck? Or what the hell is he trying to say? So that's what I'm going back over and rewriting. It's not going to take very long. I think I have 228 pages, and I'm already up to page 34. How's that? So anyway, it's really going to happen. God, you doubted us? You doubted moi? It's just taken 10 times longer than I thought, but I've never written a book. Have you? If you have, you could have warned me. Hey, Molloy, you're not going to finish it in 3 months. You're not Bob Woodward. Yeah, no shit. So anyway, that's the deal. If you go to MikeMolloy.com, you can order a book if you want. If you don't want, okay. But we would ask you to answer a couple of survey questions there about best time, date, and place. Or not place. We more or less have picked the place. It's near a huge waterfall. It's in the mountains. It's where I had a weird experience with witches. It's in the book. That's where we're going. So go to MikeMolloy.com and participate. If you would, thank you. Thank you. What's you know how this pissant Trump is always trying to denigrate someone or diminish them or their reputation or who they are, what have you. You know, he's been getting a Nike shit lately. Well, guess what? Nike sales jumped 31% after Colin Kaepernick became the new company spokesman. How long has that been? A week? And market observers, you know, observers of this capitalist horseshit who understand this stuff, say that Trump's public display of anger backfired as most of his shit does. Marshall Cohen, chief industry analyst for retail at the market research firm the NPD Group, said, quote, controversial endorsements tend to generate a lot of hype. These kinds of statements and brand partnership make for a big impact on brand selling. He's talking about Nike and Kaepernick. And according to data from Edison Trends, online sales of Nike products jumped 31% between the Sunday before and the Tuesday after Labor Day. What is that, 3 days? Which is nearly double last year's 17% increase over the same period. And Colin Kaepernick is part of Nike's 30th anniversary of its tagline, "Just Do It." And you probably have seen that TV ad that's narrated by Kaepernick. It debuted last Thursday on the opening night of the regular NFL season. If you haven't seen it, you will. And as far as Trump, you know, fuck Trump. Nike, on the other hand, is no stranger to controversy. The company's decision to use Kaepernick, who, as you know, is currently claiming the league colluded against his employment in a lawsuit, which they did. It isn't the first time that this company has used its brand platform, so to speak, to advocate for a certain cause or a push for social change. And as NBC reported, previous ad campaigns have taken on AIDS, gender inequality, disabilities, religion, and other cultural flashpoints. And the one of these market research groups said, quote, the brand Nike has a rich history of positioning itself as a progressive company that connects with its customers through constructive conflict. All right. End quote. And the experts now say that by continuing to stick his bulbous ass and his tiny little mouth into this debate regarding NFL players kneeling during the national anthem, what this bloated fuck has done, inadvertently, of course, has helped out Nike by criticizing the brand on Twitter. Last week, Trump wrote this, Nike's getting absolutely killed with anger and boycotts. And remember the videos of the rednecks burning their Nike products? I'm going to burn my shoes. Hey, motherfucker, take them off first. No, fuck that. I'm going to burn them on. Yeah, oh, okay, go ahead. Here, let me help you. Jesus Christ. But as usual, Trump being ass backwards about everything, he was about this too. Even though this loudmouth fucker, when he called for a boycott, the company's stock dropped about 3%. And now the share prices have recovered and are higher. You dumb shit. And the experts are saying that drafting Kaepernick as a spokesman for Nike has more of an upside than a downside. I mean, please. Because the company knows its customer base well. See, Trump couldn't find his ass with both hands, as enormous as it is, because he's so fucking ignorant. Who thinks that Nike would have launched this kind of an ad campaign with Colin Kaepernick, knowing what the orange fuckwad in the White House, how he would react, without Nike doing tons of market research? Nike is what it is, but they are not fucking stupid. Come on. So there's no surprise here for the industry. Oh, you had a little downtick, 3% loss of stock price. Oh, well. That's been erased. Anyway, market research from YouGov Plan and Track. YouGov Plan and Track. I don't know if that's three, four, or two organizations. Anyway, the research shows that nearly 50% of Nike customers have a positive view of Kaepernick compared to 34% of all Americans. Oh, I see. It's two companies. YouGov also found a 10 percentage point increase in the number of Nike customers versus the general public who say a company should take a stand on social issues and have a moral message. The spokesperson for Edison Trends said, quote, the company understands social trends and its customer demographics better than most. It's a calculated risk, but one that our data shows has had a positive impact so far in terms of online sales. Yeah, keep talking, you orange butt fuck you. Keep talking. Keep talking, Trump. Tell us how Nike's failing and the New York Times is failing and NBC is failing and everything's failing except your large, bulbous gut. Right, Trump? Hey, listen. Down some more cheeseburgers, please. They're running a special at Burger King, I understand. It's called the Trump Special, 3,000 calories per mouthful. Go get one. Go get them, champ. Go get them. Oh, God. Oh, and another piece of bullshit. This man is about the most ignorant son of a bitch. Well, not about. Of course he is. He makes George Bush look like a Rhodes Scholar. But the other day, when was it? Yesterday, September 10th, at 7 o'clock in the morning, Trump tweeted this. The GDP rate, 4.2%, is higher than the unemployment rate, 3.9%, for the first time in over 100 years. Yeah, yeah. No. In fact, in the past 100 years, that has happened at least 185 times. Now, maybe in the last 10 years, but Trump is such an ignorant slob fuckwad. Somebody handed him, said 100 times in the past 100 years, or it said 10 years, and being the stupid shit he is, he read it as 100. Here's the numbers if you want them. GDP, gross domestic product, you know, the total of all goods and services, yada, 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 increased at an annualized rate of 4.2% in the second quarter of 2018. And the unemployment rate was 3.9% in April, 3.8% in May, and 4.0% in June. So the 4.2% GDP is higher than the unemployment rate. But Trump is so full of shit when he says it's not been higher than the unemployment rate in the past century. It has happened 185 times, not in the last century, but since 1948. That's according to one of those failing left-wing lying fake news organizations called the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. Yeah, what the fuck do they know? Woo! Kevin Hassett, the chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors, who feeds information to the moron. Kevin Hassett acknowledged at a news conference yesterday that Mr. Trump's tweet was, you know, not accurate. Mr. Hassett said, quote, what is true is that it's the highest in 10 years. At some point, somebody probably conveyed it to him, adding a zero to that, and they should have done that. No, Mr. Hassert, I completely disagree. Nobody added a zero except that bloated fuck who thinks he's president. It's never been this way in 100 years. Ah, damn shit. Look at me. Woohoo. Go back to sleep, you moron. And I can't let this murder by the Dallas police officer who shot a man in his own apartment go by without just a couple of comments here. You know, Now, this officer said that she mistook the unit that she tried to get into for her own. And she said that the door was open a bit when she walked in and that she shot the man after he ignored her verbal commands. Now, what would you do if you're in your own fucking house and some off-duty person walks in, not of your race, that's important, and starts telling you what to do? Do you ignore that person? You might ignore that person, or you might pick up the nearest chair and try to break it across the fucker's head. That person is in your house giving orders? The officer has been charged with manslaughter, and she could face additional charges. And already the case has led to accusations that she received preferential treatment. And then there's the debate about whether race may have played a role in this encounter between a white cop and a black man in his own home. Oh, really? A debate about whether race may have played a role? Yeah, a debate. Well, what do you think? Well, I don't know. Well, let's take a look at it. It's a white cop. Yeah, white cop. A black suspect. Yeah, black. Well, wait a minute. Black suspect. He's in his own fucking house. Yeah, but just grant me the black suspect thing for a minute. Okay, go ahead. White cop, gotcha. Black suspect, okay. And the white cop says, do this, do that, do the other thing. And the black suspect ignores her. What are you supposed to do? Drop back 10 yards and punt? No, fuck no! You shoot the black guy! The fuck is wrong with you, Malloy? You shoot the black guy! You been asleep? You shoot the black guy. Ask questions later. Yeah, but the black guy was in his own apartment. She didn't know that. Oh. Well, then, I guess he deserved the death penalty. Jesus Christ. The Dallas County District Attorney, Faith Johnson, insisted to the New York Times that the investigation into the death of Botham Shamjean, 26, or Shamjean, I don't know if they're using the, I guess they're Haitian, I don't know if they're using the French pronunciation or not, but anyway, Mr. Jean, let's call him that, Mr. Jean, he's 26. But the Dallas County District Attorney yesterday said, no, the investigation had not ended, and that yes, her office, the District Attorney, would seek charges, quote, including anything from murder to manslaughter, end quote. Ms. Johnson, the District Attorney, said, quote, we'll present a thorough case to the grand jury so that a right decision could be made, end quote. Now, I read someplace that they're doing drug and alcohol tests on the white cop who shot the black apartment owner or dweller, whatever. The cop? Here's the story. It happened Thursday night when the cop, Officer Geiger, returned to her apartment complex after a shift in full uniform. Oh, she wasn't in uniform. She was just off duty at about 10 p.m. and shot Mr. Jean in his home. Now, Officer Geiger, who lives in a unit directly underneath Mr. Jean's, parked her car on the wrong floor. What the fuck was this woman smoking? Wrong floor to park her car, wrong parking space, wrong apartment? What the fuck? A lot of wrongs there, right, Officer Geiger? Huh? Parked her car on the wrong floor of the parking garage and walked to what she thought was her apartment, according to an arrest warrant affidavit. She inserted her electric key into the door which was already ajar. And then, inside the dark apartment, she saw what she described as a large silhouette that she believed to be a burglar. So Officer Geiger gave what she calls verbal commands before firing her weapon twice, striking Mr. John once in the chest. The arrest affidavit did not detail the nature of her commands or how much time passed before shots were fired. So she called 911, and then she turned on the lights and realized she was in the wrong apartment. It's unclear why the victim's door may have been ajar. The authorities asked permission to examine the victim's cell phone and laptop to see whether he may have been expecting a visitor. And the authorities took a blood sample from the cop to test her for drugs and alcohol, but the results have not yet been released. And Lee Merritt, who's a lawyer for Mr. Jean's family, challenged several aspects of Officer Geiger's account, including her claim that the door was ajar. He said witnesses had told the district attorney's office that they heard banging on the door and a woman's voice saying, "Let me in." Wonder who she was talking to, or who she thought she was talking to. But anyway, even if the cop did make the mistake of going to the wrong apartment, and here's another little clue, the wrong apartment has a very distinctive red doormat outside the door. Her apartment does not. Oh, well, Jesus fucking Christ, wrong floor to park her car. Obviously, the wrong parking space to park her car, wrong floor for the apartment, wrong bright red mat in front of the door, knock, knock, bang, bang. As is always the case in situations like this, something stinks, doesn't it? I'm sure there are explanations. And according to the investigation so far, there is no indication that Mr. Jean acted aggressively to make the officer fear for her life. Yeah, well, I wanted to add something, but if the room was dark, maybe she didn't realize it was a big black guy. In which case, a lot of cops will tell you she was entirely justified. I mean, what the fuck? He's a black guy. Huh? Well, yeah, you know. Well, what if he would have been white? Well, that's a different situation, Malloy. That's a hypothetical. He wasn't white. Okay. I got it. The lawyer, who has also questioned why the authorities did not immediately arrest Officer Geiger, please. The lawyer said, quote, "It would be irresponsible to rely on this extremely bizarre self-serving affidavit," end quote. Really? And then further questions about how the case was being handled, according to the New York Times, intensified after Officer Geiger was allowed to turn herself in to the authorities in Kaufman County, a mostly rural county southeast of Dallas, which allowed her to be booked at a jail farther away. I wonder why she did that. The deceased's attorney, Mr. Merritt, said, quote, "We don't want it lost on anyone that had this been a regular citizen, she would have never left the crime scene," end quote. Well, I'm just speculating here, but maybe Officer Geiger had something that on her that she just didn't want anybody to find. Yeah, you know, I mean, like all these black guys who are gunned down in the street by white cops, and then the white cop has to move very quickly to put something on the corpse to justify the shooting. You know, maybe Officer Geiger had something on her that she would have used, but decided to go to a rural jail to turn herself in. Gave her time to get rid of whatever it was. I'm only speculating. I'm only speculating. And yesterday, Ms. Johnson, the district attorney, she hinted at a possible split over the handling of the case between her office and the Texas Rangers, which is Texas's top law enforcement agency. Texas Rangers, goddamn right. The Dallas Police Department asked the Texas Rangers on Friday to investigate the shooting. And the district attorney, Ms. Johnson, she said the Texas Rangers coordinated the booking of Officer Geiger and recommended the charge of manslaughter. The district attorney, Ms. Johnson, said she had what she called a spirited debate with Texas Rangers investigators on Sunday before they got an arrest warrant. District attorney said, quote, we had our views, and at the end of that conversation, the Texas Rangers made the decision that it would be manslaughter. I'm not challenging them on their viewpoint, and they did a great job. End quote. Yeah. Sure they did. Officer Geiger, a member of the Dallas Police Department for 4 years and assigned to the patrol division, was involved in a shooting last year. She shot a man in the stomach who had grabbed her police taser during a confrontation. The man survived, and she was not indicted in that episode, according to Dallas Morning News. And at a news conference yesterday, the mayor of Dallas, Mike Rawlings, denounced bullshit that had spread on social media about the case, including the possibility that the victim and the cop were acquainted. Members of Mr. Jean's family, including his mother, Allison Jean, a former senior government official in San Lucia, where her son was born and grew up. Okay, not Haiti. Close. Mom also attended the news conference. The victim, the dead Mr. Jean, moved to Dallas after college last year, 2 years ago, and worked for the auditing firm PricewaterhouseCoopers. The mayor of Dallas said Bottom, the dead man, was a model citizen. When you lose someone like that in this way, we mourn and our hearts break with that family. Shoot first and ask questions later. Yeah, but what? There's a problem with that? Yes, a certain number of innocent people will die. But that's the way it goes in law enforcement and war, right? Especially in law enforcement, if you're a white cop and the victim is not white. We'll take a small break here. You know, I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast tonight that, it's September 11th. Yeah, it's 17 years ago. There's really nothing I can say about the horror of that day that hasn't been said. You know, like different horrific historic events. I know exactly where I was when one of my daughters called me and told me to turn on CNN to see what had happened. Just like I remember where I was, the assassination of John Kennedy, the assassination of Dr. King. But there's nothing that I can say, nothing I can add, detract. It was a horrific historical event. People a lot smarter than I have parsed it and taken it apart and tried to come up with reasons why and this and that and the other thing, as I have made feeble attempts over the past 17 years, but I don't do that anymore. But there was one little item that caught my eye about it, which hit my gag reflex very quickly. And it was a piece in the Washington Post about one of the anchors at WWOR in Secaucus, New Jersey, television. And they were transmitting videos of what had happened. But there was a technical glitch. And all of a sudden, the film that they were showing, or the tape that they were showing, videotape, just kept looping over and over and over on itself. And they were getting complaining phone calls. A lot of people were just abandoning that station and switching someplace else. And that's when the co-anchor of the coverage that was going on WWOR, let her colleague know that Donald Trump, the real estate mogul, had well-documented ties to Lower Manhattan, and surprise, surprise, he was on the phone. So there was a conversation, there was an interview, there was this, there was that. And then he said, quote, "I have a window that looks directly at the World Trade Center, and I saw this huge explosion. I really couldn't believe it. Now I'm looking at absolutely nothing. It's just gone. It's just hard to believe." And then the anchor person asked whether Trump's building at 40 Wall Street had suffered any damage. But before getting into his response about his property in the financial district, Trump had something he wanted on the record. Trump said in the WWOR interview, quote, "40 Wall Street. Actually, it was the second tallest building in downtown Manhattan, and it was actually, before the World Trade Center, was the tallest. And then when they built the World Trade Center, it became known as the second tallest, and now it's the tallest again." "3,000 people dead, the worst terrorist attack in American history, and this filthy son of a bitch did what he always does. Nothing exists unless it's referenced through him." The anchor person said, "When Trump gave us the answer he did, we were stunned. Any reaction I had in the midst of everything that was happening was, wow, that's insensitive. It just was." No, that was Trump. So That is not a surprising bit of information. This guy is such an asshole. Jesus Christ. Hey, when I was going over this next item here, I typed at the top of the page where I had the notes in the, what is that? I guess it's not that big, maybe 32-point red, all caps, the word hypocrisy. And I put 5 exclamation points after the word hypocrisy. Why did I do that? Well, it was a story in the New York Times, and the headline, U.S. weighs sanctions against Chinese officials over Muslim detention camps. Yeah, let that one sink in. And the story is that the Trump fucks are considering sanctions against Chinese senior officials and companies in order to punish the government of China for its detention of hundreds of thousands of ethnic Uyghurs who are Muslim in large internment camps. So that in itself is a typical horror story. The Chinese rounding up hundreds of thousands of ethnic Uyghurs in Northwest China and keeping them in concentration camps, internment camps. And the Uyghurs are Muslim. Oh, Christ. So, how many of us have not heard the expression, a couple of them, physician, heal thyself, or don't throw stones if you live in glass houses, or in the case of Trump, sit down and shut the fuck up. I'm sure we've all heard all three, right? So here's Trump threatening sanctions against Chinese officials because of their atrocities, which parallel perfectly Trump's atrocities. Trump didn't want to put them in internment camps, although I'm sure that's next on his twisted fucking agenda. He just wanted to ban them. Ban them. You may not come here, you dirty, rotten Muslim. That was all in accordance with jacking off his Christian fanatic base. Trump doesn't give a fuck. You're a Muslim, you're a Jew, you're a Christian. How much money you got? Will you lend it to me? I'm going to build a building. Nothing wrong with building a building. I'm going to put my name on it. I need some money. Now, Trump doesn't give a shit who people are. He's an asshole to everybody. But the thing with the Muslims, that was a hand job for his sick, twisted Christian base. Like Franklin Graham, the now dead Billy Graham's son, who will tell you, if you want to hear, that Muslims are satanic. These fucking people. But the economic penalties that are being suggested here would be the one of the first times that the Trump gangsters have taken action against China because of human rights violations. Woohoo! And also, if that's not enough, U.S. officials, and I don't know that Trump's involved in this, after reading the few excerpts of Bob Woodward's new book, Fear, I don't know. I believe Woodward, that Trump doesn't know what the fuck's going on, and that this cadre of cowardly unelected pricks are trying to, you know, keep the lid on this son of a bitch rather than resigning en masse or getting together and starting action through the 25th Amendment against this fucker. But that's a different story, okay? But U.S. officials are also trying to limit the American sales of surveillance technology that these Chinese security agencies are using to monitor the Uyghurs throughout Northwest China. You know, fascism is what fascism does. And Russia is fascist. China is fascist. North Korea is in a class by itself. Who the fuck knows what they are? Trump is a fascist wannabe. Now, apparently, according to the New York Times, there have been discussions in the Trump administration, not by Trump. Trump's too busy watching fucking television. But there were discussions between or among officials at in the White House and the Treasury Department and the State Department for months about how to respond to China for its treatment of these minority Muslims. But the discussions took a turn, it says here, 2 weeks ago, after members of Congress asked Secretary of State Pompeo and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin to impose sanctions on 7 Chinese officials. Of course, Trump didn't know what the fuck they were talking about, but once he heard what they were talking about, he didn't want to punish China for its human rights record. And he didn't even want them accused of human rights records. And the reason for it is because Trump, in order to continue to satisfy his sick, twisted Christian base, would, even if he had a conscience or an empathetic self, he still wouldn't want to be seen as coming to the rescue of those apostate Muslims, because it might piss off his Franklin Graham base, the good Christians. But if the penalties are approved, which they just could be, it will probably add fuel to the fire of the standoff that Trump has caused with China over how China is or is not pressuring North Korea regarding its nuclear program. Because Kim Jong-un looks at Trump for exactly what he is, a half-witted moron. Anytime those two were together in Indonesia, Singapore, wherever the hell it was, every time I saw pictures of them together, whether it was live video or stills or whatever, I always noticed that Kim Jong-un looked at Trump as though Trump were a moron. Now, maybe that's just Kim's facial expressions. Maybe he has some kind of rictus that locks this expression in place. I don't know. Maybe it's a North Korean thing. Who knows? But the look was there, looking at Trump like, you really are as ignorant as they said you would be. You don't know shit. You're going to be easy. And as it turned out, that's exactly what happened. Anyway, what happened was last month, according to New York Times, a UN panel confronted Chinese diplomats in Geneva over these detentions. And there have been investigative reports, a couple by the New York Times, that have tried to reveal what the Chinese are doing to this Muslim minority. Now, if you'll remember, and maybe you don't, the only reason I remember is because I remember talking about it on one of the radio programs I did. There were several Uyghurs. Now, remember, it's a Muslim ethnic minority group in Northwest China. There were several of them that were being held at camp torture at Guantanamo. And they were there because the Chinese government had requested that the Bush crime family imprison them, because these Uyghurs apparently were leaders or wannabe leaders of a possible insurgency against Chinese domination. So we had several Uyghurs in detention. We don't know what happened to them while they were in detention. I know they were eventually released. Small world, huh? Anyway, the camps for these Chinese Muslims, the camps, the detention centers, whatever the hell they are, they've been the target of growing international criticism and investigative reports, not just by the New York Times. According to the Times, in this article, human rights advocates and legal scholars say the mass detentions in the northwest region of Xinjiang province are the worst collective human rights abuse in China in decades. It goes on to say, since taking power in 2012, President Xi Jinping has steered China on a hard authoritarian course, that means fascism, which includes increased repression of large ethnic groups in Western China, notably the Uyghurs and Tibetans. Human Rights Watch released a detailed report Sunday. And according to New York Times, that report concluded that the violations that the Chinese government are perpetrating against these people were, quote, of a scope and scale not seen in China since the Cultural Revolution. That was 50 years ago. Almost 60. Now, the report Human Rights Watch put out was based on interviews with 58 former residents of the region, Xinjiang. And the report recommended, the Human Rights Report recommended that other nations impose sanctions on Chinese officials. Now, what happens in these camps? Well, obviously, they're what used to be called re-education camps during the Cultural Revolution in China in the 60s and into the 70s. That's what they were called, re-education. If you were a college professor, oh, fuck no, you had to be re-educated. And what you had to be re-educated on was to forget everything that you knew as a college professor, all that sciencey shit, all that technological shit, all that philosophical stuff, all that art and poetry, get that out of your fucking mind. All you need is a little red book, Mao's book. That's all you need. So these detention camps are what is the focus of the Human Rights Watch investigation right now. It's the same goddamn thing. Here's what it says. Chinese Muslims in the camps are forced to attend daily classes, denounce aspects of Islam, study mainstream Chinese culture, and pledge loyalty to the Chinese Communist Party. Some detainees who have been released have described torture by security officers. Now, for their part, the Chinese officials, oh, no, 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 they have labeled this process, quote, transformation through education, or counter-extremism education. Now, who they're doing this to is a mystery because the Chinese will not acknowledge or admit that they're holding large groups of Muslims in these detention centers. So what the fuck are they talking about? Jesus Christ. Now, the irony here, and the reason I typed hypocrisy at the top of this, it's because Trump is an authoritarian, is a fascist, is a dictator wannabe, just like Xi Jinping, just like Putin, just like Kim, just like Duterte. That's what Trump wants to be. He wants absolute power, absolutely. But Trump doesn't make statements criticizing foreign governments for human rights abuses or anti-liberal policies. And in fact, he praises these fuckers, including Xi Jinping, whose government has rounded up the Muslim Uyghurs and put them in these detention camps. Trump praises him. Trump praises Putin, who is an assassin, a murderer, a dictator. Trump is just like these people. So why the fuck is he still our president? Come on, Republicans. You have the power to kick this son of a bitch to the curb where he belongs. You got your fucking tax increase. You're about to get your fucking Supreme Court justice. At long last, sir, have you no decency? Or something like that. According to Senator Marco Rubio, yeah, him, he said of these Muslim detention centers in an interview, he said the following, quote, "The scale of it, it's massive. It involves not only intimidating people on political speech, but also a desire to strip people of their identity, ethnic identity, religious identity, on a scale that I'm not sure we've seen in the modern era," end quote. Well, Rubio, I mean, come on. What the fuck? Come on. Are you not aware of the Holocaust? Or is the 1930s and 1940s not the modern era? I don't know. Marco Rubio, to me, is a dork to begin with. Now, just in case this comes up at your next cocktail party, ethnic Uyghurs, they are a Turkic-speaking group, which has nothing to do with Turkey. They're mostly Sunni Muslim. They have a population of about 11 million. They're the largest ethnic group in the province, Xinjiang. Some of the desert oasis towns and villages that they consider their homeland are being emptied out. Because security officers are forcing many Uyghurs into these large detention centers for weeks or months. You know, re-education camps. A Uyghur American journalist, how's that for a combination, who works for Radio Free Asia, which is financed by the U.S. government. She said at a congressional hearing in July that two dozen of her family members in Xinjiang were missing, including her brother. She said, quote, "I hope and pray for my family to be let go and released, but I know even if that happens, they will still live under constant threat," end quote. And a Chinese law student in Canada has compiled satellite images that show the scale of some of these detention centers. Apparently, they're huge. Well, the article in the New York Times goes on about Chinese fascist suppression. So I would say to you, as I've said many times, if you want any more information, just go to nytimes.com and help yourself. We're about out of time for this go-around. I want to remind you again to check out MikeMalloy.com. We have a couple of questions there about this retreat that we're planning in the North Georgia Mountains for this fall. Probably late in the fall, because fall starts in, what, 2 weeks? Probably in November, latter part of November, maybe. And it'll be a book launch or a book signing or a book whatever, but it'll also just be a get-together, maybe a couple, 2 nights, 3 days or something like that. And what we need to have is a little preliminary information, like what would be a good date if you were to come. And what sort of accommodations would be most suitable to you. And we'll, you know, if we get enough of this information, we'll compile it all and run it through the Supermax computer and come up with all kinds of groovy answers. I'll see you next time. In the meantime, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.